Welcome to Home Space and Reason, a podcast about creating a home that thrives.
Hi there, I'm Christina Brown.
If you
Browning,
know your
host.
Home could be so much more than it is, I discuss home functionality, aesthetics, and automation. I'm a realtor in Portland, Oregon, and a home functionality coach. I geek out on every subject imaginable regarding your home and yard, challenging you to think of your space differently to get the most out of every square foot. I pose questions for you to think through about your space and your reason. This podcast is all positive, offering you virtual fist bumps and celebrating every win. Remember, there's no such thing as perfect, but you can still aim for your best every day. Join me on social media by searching for the handle Space and Reason. In this episode, let's discuss home functionality and aesthetics in rectangular spaces, also known as an exercise in creating distinct spaces and uses within a rectangular room. This entire episode poses questions to think through about your space and your reason. So instead of having a pause, like in most episodes, where we grab paper and write down questions, know that I'll be posing those questions throughout the whole thing this time. So you may want to grab a scratch piece of paper in advance to write down the questions that resonate most with you. Hello, friend. I just wanted to pause. We came out of the gate really fast and furious there, and I wanted to take a second just to check in with you. How are you feeling today? I am preparing to go on a trip up north, up the coast, a drive of several hours, and I'm taking the opportunity to take my friend along so it can be simultaneously a work thing. The trip itself is for work, but the drive is going to be so enjoyable because we're going to have time to catch up and chat. And we bought tickets for a yoga and beer event once we get up there, so it's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to it. What do you have to look forward to in the next few months? And if your answer is nothing, what could you set up for yourself today? Can you jump online and see what local events might be going on that might resonate with you? So I got a listener question of sorts, although it's not really a question, more of a thinking out loud scenario that I wanted to share with you. It said, I'm thinking about how to use plants to separate my living room from my back door area. I don't know yet how I want to use the back door space, but I'm considering maybe an exercise area, a reading nook, a garden transition area. I have seen photos in which folks have hung plants from the ceiling to define and separate spaces. What a delightful thought and question to let marinate. Imagine a long room. Right now, I'm working with a client named Ariel in Ohio who has a family room that's also long. It occupies her young daughter's toy kitchen, trophast bins with smaller toys, and atop sits the larger play structures like toy houses and such. Visually, even though the couch is an L shape, the space is not divided up yet, other than that leg of the couch that sticks out into the center area. Many people are in this same situation, whether the space is long and deep or really wide and shallow. Rectangular spaces can make you go, So I thought, what a great episode topic. Let's start with imagining the use first. Don't think about how it will work aesthetically yet. Let's think about function as the top and most important thing on our list. What do I want to do in this space? If I don't know, and I simply just want to get more mileage, or I want it to be of more use than it is now, where does it lie in your home? And is there something that lends itself to being there because of its geography? In other words, if it's by a door, could you create a drop zone? If it's near a child's room, could you create a desk space or a library nook for reading? When you get out of the paralysis mode of I don't know what to do and start asking more questions like, what don't I have room for that I would like room for? And then imagining it here, perhaps you have room for it after all. Don't think of your rectangle as a rectangle anymore. Think of it as smaller shapes or smaller spaces fit into an open rectangular floor plan. So the end of the room is your office, maybe facing into the room because having a desk facing a wall isn't always best. Give it visual permission by giving it boundaries using a rug or an end table to define where one space ends and another space begins. Also, if you chop a piece off the end of your room to create a different use and space, you can chop that up too, making a third of it a sitting area, a checkers table, a reading spot, and divided by a walking area for maneuvering around, the other two-thirds might be the office or a space for movement. Whatever. It doesn't have to be evenly divisible. So when you imagine the entire rectangle, you can divide it into thirds. Two-thirds are one thing, and one-third is another. And that one-third could also be divided up in the other direction. So the majority of that is for one thing, and the minority is for another. Now let's think about lighting. Do I have a floor lamp or table lamp, anything that isn't the ceiling light blasting down from the center of the room, which gives you zero ambiance for anything other than a big bright project workspace? If you're staring at me blankly, add a light to the list of things you might start thinking about. Where would you put it? Read into that. Where are the outlets? And if you don't have any there, maybe it's a rechargeable light. I've seen really cute ones that are rechargeable that sit on tabletops or shelf tops. There are actually so many choices nowadays that there weren't just 5 years ago. Questions about lighting would be like, if you want to read with the light, where do you put it based on where you like to sit? A plug-in sconce is also an idea if you don't have floor space. I love this idea in a bedroom. If you have an area to one side of your bed beyond a nightstand that is empty, could you use a sconce with an arm that pivots, that gives you downward lighting next to your bed, but maybe it also swings over to provide light for a reading chair as well? Maybe it has a footstool and a chunky blanket thrown over the arm to invite you in. The space is then defined for reading. And then you can think about a piece of art that goes with this space to finish it off, like an exclamation point at the end of the sentence. Let's think about a space that is long. Divide the depth up with a couch, and maybe on the back side of the couch is a long table pushed right up against the couch back, like it's the same length as the couch and the same height. Maybe under it are some counter height bar stools. The table is only as deep as a dinner plate, so it doesn't take up that much square footage at all, but it provides extra seating for gatherings and big games. It could be the kid table when you have 15 people over for the holidays, or an extra workspace if you've got a project that requires more than your desk allows. Behind that is a full walkway to allow the pulling out of the bar stools and walking past. And then what? What do you need? An office? A space where the grown-ups can sit? Or a larger scale coffee table where your puzzles could be put together? What do you love to do? And do you have space to do it in? This doesn't mean go out and buy a bigger house with more space. It means really evaluating how every square inch is working for you. And if you find that you aren't using one end of your rectangular space as you originally thought you might, let's think about tweaking it in a way that will encourage you to use it more and enjoy it more. Let's imagine that you don't do the couch table. Let's imagine you put a desk there. Same idea. Allow space for a walkway. Maybe use painter's tape on the floor if you have to map out what you're thinking before you even move the stuff. Let's talk about pinch zones for a minute, where walkways get too tight or where furniture sticks out and makes you curve a little. Walkways between furniture should be a minimum of 36 inches so the space feels comfortable to move around in. If you're working in a smaller space to begin with, your furniture should be smaller scale to still allow you the space to move around. If you need to map out 36 inches on the floor with painter's tape to help you visualize your main walkways, do that. Some people can naturally picture things in their head and others can't. It's just how we were born, and that's okay. No matter which category you fall in or how vivid you can picture things, you can still use tools to help you visualize. Now let's mentally work through the components of a space for sitting and relaxing. You need a comfortable piece of furniture for sitting. Perhaps a pillow for behind your back or for some guests that need that extra support. Sit in that spot with an imaginary glass in your hand, reading glasses that you don't need. The remote control, where would you sit these things from that seating position? You'll need lighting that isn't coming from the ceiling. You'll need something on the walls, and you'll need something on the floor. A plant or three always makes a space feel warm and inviting. These are the things that comfort is made of. What these things look like and the scale will depend on your taste and the size of the room that you're in. When thinking about making sure a space doesn't look too cluttered, make sure you have storage that isn't all open. Open shelves and open bins, a coffee table with a shelf underneath that's open, all collects stuff, even if it's just dust. Sometimes it's chaos. I'm a fan of thinking about purchasing pieces or converting existing pieces into items that can hold categories neatly without being seen. It's wonderful to have a mix of some open and some closed, but if you feel anxious in that space, it might be because you have all open storage. This is just stuff to think on, to mentally chew on. Is my storage open or closed? Maybe you don't have any storage at all, and that might be why you're accumulating stuff on the tops and it feels chaotic. When we think about categories, I'm thinking about a footstool that opens and maybe stores your blankets inside. A coffee table that maybe pops up and inside can house what? Your remote controls, your coffee table book. Anything that might accumulate there maybe can go in the drawer underneath. So if you don't have anything that holds things, this might be why you've got accumulation happening. If you want a space for movement, could the end of this room hold a treadmill? Maybe a yoga mat rolled up in a woven basket in the corner? Could it hold a Peloton or a tall, skinny triangle rack of free weights? Maybe they're black. If you want a space for music, could the end be defined by a rug with a music stand and your favorite chair for playing the oboe? Since sound is a big deal in a room where music is played, might you consider sound deadening with wall art? There's a company called Felt Right that makes art specifically from felt, specifically so there's less echo. The important thing is that you don't shove everything to the outside walls facing in, leaving a giant hole in the middle that you don't know what to do with. If you're looking at your room right now and there's a big hole in the middle where nothing is sitting, I'm talking to you. Look at photos of spaces you love. Where is the furniture placed? Do you have furniture like this or similar to this that you could mimic the same setup? Literally just copy it. Move it. Live with it for a few days. What bits are working? What doesn't work? What might we do differently to make it better? Could I visually divide the room using a bookshelf that is open on both sides, like there's no back to it? You can see through it. This allows light to go through, people to see through it, but it provides a division of spaces. This is probably not going to divide your room in half. It's probably going to divide it into a third and two thirds. Plants are divine sitting in this open bookshelf scenario, giving vertical life to the space without blocking it off completely. When we talk about what we're putting into the space, we're simultaneously considering what behavior we want to encourage in ourselves and what we want to discourage. So if you want to drink less beer, maybe we don't put in a kegerator. If you want to work out more, do you have a space for movement? And do you like that space? Who is your home encouraging you to become? Episode 10 dives into that topic deeply. It's one of my favorite episodes, and I'll link it in the show notes. Maybe you can check that out next. Let's think aesthetics now. Put art on the wall to define the spaces, but make it all go together. So despite it being different spaces, it still sits well together in the sandbox. It's not matchy-matchy, but it feels good together. So maybe one area has something interesting wood. Maybe it's a three-dimensional piece. And the space next to it has a wonderful woodsy green something or another. They can hang out together, but they aren't twinning. They didn't come together. It's not a set. If there is a TV in this space, could you put something behind it that goes from the floor to the ceiling, just a bit wider than the width of the TV? This could be a color stripe of paint, a few shades darker than your wall. It could be wood paneling, or it could be wallpaper. This is just one idea of how to elevate the space from feeling like a dorm room to a cozy, sophisticated space. If you have a large wall, do not put an 8x10 piece of framed art there. If you have this going on already, listen to episode 43, Understanding Scale and Proportion and How to Choose Art for Your Wall. I'll even list 20 ideas of what to put on your wall. As always, I include links in the show notes for things that I mention. Delicious spaces have a common thread of unique pieces that have some kind of history. It's the opposite of live, laugh, love, which is the worst cliche phrase you can buy anywhere that means nothing. What do you have of your grandparents or parents that could become art or an interesting lamp in that space? What collections or ashtrays could become a whole new thing? What reminds you of a spectacular vacation you took? Choose things that resonate and don't rush it. Let it marinate a bit. I need a large scale piece of art for above my new desk space at the end of my family room. And just keep putting that out into the world with your thoughts. Let it sit with you for some weeks and keep an eye out without making it your full-time job. It will appear someday when you least expect it, and you'll know it when you see it. I need a large-scale piece of art for above my desk at the end of the family room. Think of finding something with texture. Have something alive in your room. A green plant always adds fresh air and contentment. Move your furniture. Try stuff. Move it again and again until you know this is it. Be patient with yourself. This is not HGTV, and it will not magically be finished in 30 minutes. Enjoy and savor the process of making this space something you can love and enjoy for years to come. Imagining what can be is part of the fun of it. Who do you know that has a rectangular room that might enjoy an intellectual and positive podcast all about homes? Help me spread the word by sharing this episode. I'm only one person, so I appreciate all the help I can get in getting the word out about this podcast. I spend a good amount of time producing each one, and so from the very first episode, there are golden nuggets to be found. If you didn't start from the beginning, I think you'll like what you hear. Go back and start at episode 1. I have a home tour coming up where the mother of an acquaintance of mine had her home listed for quite some time, and it just sat on the market. She wasn't excited about the lack of communication from her realtor, and no one seems to be sure why the home hasn't had much interest in it. I don't even know the address yet, but when the contract expires with that realtor, she wants me to go have a look and see what we can do to tweak the spaces to make it more appealing in the photos and videos so she can get the most possible out of that investment. I will list it with fresh photos and pay attention to not just the aesthetics, but also the functionality of the spaces. What is confusing potential buyers about these spaces? Sometimes I even put photos in the space of suggestions of where furniture can be placed so it makes sense to the people touring. If you'd like to talk with me about buying a home or listing a home, reach out to me. My contact information is always in the show notes. I'm a licensed realtor in the state of Oregon. I also do consults ahead of time for people who know they want to list their home in a few years, when their child graduates from college, or when they have grandchildren and want to move to be closer to them. The questions are often, "We're thinking of painting, but wanted you to choose the color so it looks as best it can when we list in a few years." Or, "We wanted to update the bathroom and needed your help in layout or materials specific with resale in mind. Whatever you're wondering, I can come in at an hourly rate and we can put our heads together about your goals for the house." I wanted to give a virtual high five to Joanna Eaton from New Jersey, who reached out through LinkedIn to tell me about a book she enjoyed that has a lot of the same themes I mentioned here in the podcast. She wanted to tell me about Soul Space by Zoran Balbus, so I ordered it today. Thank you for connecting and thinking of me. I love hearing from you. When I get messages like this, it helps me understand the numbers I see and the podcast listeners are actually real people. When you get in the weeds with creating a podcast, sometimes it just feels like I'm talking out into the abyss. And when I hear from you, it doesn't feel like that anymore. So thank you so much. And now for some more questions about this rectangular space we're talking about. I urge you to go to a place in your mind that you've been to before and you love to be in. What space is that? Maybe it's a restaurant. Maybe it's a mid-century modern home you saw on a tour once. Maybe it's your crazy aunt who lives in Texas and doesn't follow design rules. Maybe it's your childhood friend's home you visited, and her dad was an auctioneer, so they brought things home like life-size horses from carousels. Their kitchen was all Coca-Cola-themed stuff. Whatever space lights your soul on fire, dissect that. Why do I love this space that I'm thinking of? And what inspiration can I take from that space to incorporate it into my own? Question number two, do I love colored glass or wood? Do I love the desert or the mountains? Do I love the ocean or science? Do I love hand-dipping taper candles or composing a song with my guitar on a rainy afternoon? What do I love? And is it represented here in this space? Or could I do that thing in this space? Question number three, when is the last time I had my furnace or air conditioner serviced? If I don't know the answer, maybe it's time to go see if there's a sticker on it and call them to schedule one. I know this has nothing to do with a long rectangular room, but I wanted to mention this as a friendly reminder because it's one of those things that's so easy to put off and get lost in the mix. And as a realtor, I'm involved in home inspections all the time in home sales, and inspectors can tell if your furnace has not been serviced, and it gives the impression that you've not taken good care of your home overall. If you neglect doing that year after year, what else have you neglected? The technician that comes in will inspect the unit and its wiring, clean and lubricate the components, check the fuel line and levels, calibrate pressure in the fuel line, and identify any potential issues or repair needs. Go look at your unit. There's likely a phone number on it, along with when your most recent service happened. You'll be so glad you did. Are there things about your bathroom that make you crazy? Listen to episode 22 and geek out with me on all things bathroom related pet peeves, potential remodels, staging a bathroom when selling, and new technology available for bathrooms. If you have an Amazon Echo, you can say, "Play the Home Space and Reason podcast by Apple," and easily listen on any Echo or Dot while you're doing the dishes, while you're putting away laundry. It's like a double win there. If you're still stuck on your rectangular space, I can do a consult with you no matter where you live. We can do this through the interwebs. Connect with me and my calendar. There's a link in the show notes, and we can talk about what the questions are unique to you and your family. The finest compliment I can receive is the confidence of your referral. So if you happen to know someone in the market to buy or sell in the greater Metro Portland, Oregon area, kindly send them my way. If you have feedback or an idea for an episode, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email at Christina with a K at spaceandreason.com. Also, if you haven't connected through the socials yet, find me by searching for the handle Space and Reason. Thanks for sitting in on this conversation, friends. I'll meet you back here for the next episode.